Oof, that does not sound easy, right? Solitude is hard, Wilka says. Tell me something I don't know. Solitude is hard because what we might find there is hard. Because sometimes getting there is hard. And what it might ask of us is also hard. The translators of this new edition of Letters to a Young Poet, Anita Barrows and Joanna Macy, wrote in their introduction, "The art Rilke pursued came at great cost. It demanded a deeply authentic response from body and soul to the natural world and to the raw experience of life." And Rilke's answer, in a lot of ways, is solitude. Everyone at some point, I believe, experiences some version of how hard solitude can be. And I know that many more of us than in the past, and many of our siblings have faced it at some point since last March. So I want to start my reflection by acknowledging the grief that comes from the losses that we have faced, losses of loved ones or losses of a way of life that we used to know. One of the things I have said to myself and to so many people in the midst of the pain and the fear we're feeling is that we're not alone. What I mean by that is not that we don't have solitude. What I mean by that is we are not left alone. I remember, I don't even know if I've told this story in the pulpit before. I remember 5 years ago, right after I learned that my husband wanted a divorce, there was this feeling of deep, deep aloneness. We had been married 18 years, together for 20. And suddenly, he wasn't there anymore. And even when he was still in the house, because there was this transitional time where he was still in the house, he wasn't there anymore. And the person with whom I had shared the depth of myself was gone to me. Because I'm a Unitarian Universalist, whose faith surrounds or is grounded by this understanding of God as an energy that moves between us or arises within us. The loss of that primary relationship in my life caused me to question that faith, caused me to say, my gosh, if that kind of betrayal and that kind of loss can happen, if God is between us, maybe God isn't that. Maybe God isn't at all. Maybe I can't trust the energy that I have always felt arise within myself and move between myself and my husband and other people in different ways. And I felt completely alone. Not just unpartnered, not just nobody else in the house, but completely alone. I stayed that way for about 2 years. And those of you who were here during that time saw a change in my preaching, saw a change in my ministry, saw me become topical, talk about topics. It was too painful to preach from this place of vulnerability that I usually do. It was too painful to seek the solitude because I was so alone, the solitude that I need within myself to go deep and to be vulnerable with you. What saved me in that time was other people, was this being surrounded by a circle of people who I could call anytime was trusting them and remembering that relationship, that holy relationship of what arises within and between us was present in those relationships as well. And I found my faith again, and it became stronger. Until now, 5 years later, I can again seek the solitude of the kind that Rilke wrote about, because I know that it's different from the aching aloneness that I felt in those couple of years right after the divorce. I've spent time and energy getting to know myself again, getting to the space that I can hear spirit whisper to me or rustle in the woods, and cultivating my ability to be vulnerable in both my own life and in my ministry. I can seek solitude and open myself to what it might offer. I don't think it's loneliness that Rilke meant either when he said solitude is hard. I think he meant that it's work to face what solitude might bring us. Look at some of the sacred stories, at least some of the ones I've grown up with. Moses, alone, tending his father's sheep when he encountered God's voice in the burning bush, telling him he was to lead Israel out of slavery, across the Red Sea, across a vast desert where they would face hunger and fear and doubt. And once they reached Mount Sinai, Moses is said to have gone up onto the mountain alone and to have come back with the Ten Commandments. And then he got to convince his people to follow them. None of that was easy. Jesus went into the desert after he was baptized, it is said, where he heard his call to ministry. During the 40 days and the 40 nights he spent there, the devil came, it is written, and tempted him to show his power, to show off, to claim it for the sake of itself. How hard it must have been for the human Jesus to resist the temptation not to follow that call. We don't know what he learned about himself during that time, but we do know that he started to preach and heal shortly after he returned out of the desert. The prophet Muhammad was said to have gone often to Hira Cave in the hills behind Makkar to meditate. And he was also said to have stayed awake late into the night when everyone else was asleep to recite and praise Allah. Hard on the body, at the very least. Buddhist monks and practitioners spend varying amounts of time sitting in silence, alone or in the company of others, to seek inner peace. Faith leaders of all traditions spend time alone in prayer, meditation, retreat, nature, to ground and to center ourselves, to listen for that small voice, that little rustle that arises from within when we can quiet ourselves enough to hear it. Michael, who we met in our time for all ages, got in touch with his feelings and learned about beauty while he was alone by the river. He needed his family to help him process those feelings and to learn a little bit, but it was a quiet solitude that gave him the space to feel them. So solitude is not only hard, it is rich. This is why my first words to you every Sunday morning are, come and take a breath. Rilke knew that solitude is different from loneliness, and that solitude can bring us a clarity that's hard to face at first, and sometimes for a long time, but also so very fulfilling to embrace. For it's in solitude that we truly get to know ourselves. And once we know ourselves, he says, we're ready to experience love, which he writes is a noble calling for the individual to ripen, to differentiate, to become a world in oneself in response to another. And he goes even further. A bit later in this same letter, Rilke wrote about nothing less than becoming fully human in our capacity for love. He wrote, "One day, the girl and the woman who don't define themselves in masculine terms, but as something in themselves, female humans, will require no other completion. This enormous shift will transform the character of love, which is hampered today by the resistance of men, and generate a relationship from human to human, not from man to woman. And this more human love, endlessly considerate and light and good and clear, consummated by holding close and letting go, will resemble that love that we so arduously prepare, the love that consists of two solitudes that protect, border, and greet each other. Two solitudes that protect, border, and greet each other." Joanna Macy and Anita Barrows comment on this section in their translator's introduction to the letters, writing, "When Rilke speaks in letter 7 of two solitudes that protect, border, and greet each other, a phrase adorning many wedding ceremonies, he invites us to continue a deep reciprocity between the partners. Reciprocity, they say, in Rilke's view, also characterizes our relationship with the divine. After reassuring the cadet that he cannot lose God, as Kappus feared, Rilke suggests that he could actually be engaged in bringing God forth. So for Rilke, solitude is a necessary step for reciprocity. For us to truly engage with each other and with that which is greater than us, we must spend time with ourselves. And finding another human with whom we might build a partnership requires first that we know ourselves." During the On Being interview with the translators that got me thinking about all of this, Joanna Macy talked about a conversation with her husband of 56 years. She says, "I remember about a year before we married, I'd been talking away as he was driving. And then he just looked at me and said, 'What a world you've got inside you.' And then I knew that it was my own world, and he could tell. He didn't want to own it, didn't want it to be explained, but he was so glad it was there. All of that was in his voice. And that stayed with me throughout those 5.5 decades, a world in myself." We need to know that world within ourselves to be fully human and to be fully in relationship with one another. That's not to say that every relationship we're in requires this kind of depth and vulnerability, but the important ones, the sustainable and sustaining relationships that get us through, they do. One last quote from the translator's introduction. "We find it remarkable that Rilke's devotion to solitude didn't shield him from the unrest so ominously characteristic of the new century unfolding before him. He was able to take in the degradation of urban life and poverty and the loss of spiritual comforts and the certainties that had steadied previous generations." Sound familiar? So solitude, I'm sorry to say, doesn't mean we withdraw from the world. It means we have a space in which to cultivate the tools we need to deal with the world and with all its brokenness. This was one of my bigger learnings from the alone time spent after the divorce. Eventually, I found that the seeking of solitude, once I understood that I wasn't alone, the seeking of that solitude helped me find, both within myself and the relationships that I have, a kind of resilience that helps me not withdraw from this broken world. My hope for us, for this congregation and for this faith tradition, and for all of us, is to cultivate this kind of solitude together. Together. So take a breath. And another. Let your shoulders drop. Your tongue move off the roof of your mouth. The crease between your eyes unfold. Let your chest expand and contract. Let your belly muscles unclench. The big muscles in your bottom and your thighs relax. Your feet rest gently on the floor, holding you, connecting you to the ground below. One more big breath. May it be so. May we be so.